All right, now we're actually going to get to the actual message for today's service. And when I was preparing this message, I did notice it seemed a lot shorter, and I was kind of wondering why. But just so you know, when I prepare a message, I don't ever put fluff in to fill up time. And so I left it short. I had no idea that at the Saturday prayer, God was going to say, do this. Okay? So I'm really glad he did. So it is a message. I won't have to even skip anything, and I'll be done on time. So we have been looking at a series called How Do We Help People Find and Follow Jesus? And this is the wrap-up of it. This is going to be our final one as we have a special guest next weekend. We have looked at three different topics so far on how do we help others find and follow Jesus. Number one, we said we got to have love for other people. If we don't have that, we're not going to help them. Number two, we said that we need to know what we believe, or how can we share it with anybody else. Number three, we said we need to be invitational. We need to invite people into conversation. We need to invite people into our lives, and we need to invite people to church. Today, specifically, we're going to look at the fact that to help people find and follow Jesus, we need to be a good friend. And so that's what we're looking at today. And you have my word, it won't take very long. So our key verse that we've looked at every time in the series was Matthew 28:19-20. And I'm actually not going to go there, but I do want you to know that's our key. That is the Great Commission, what we're supposed to do. Go and make disciples, which means just helping people find and follow. All right, so very specifically today, we must be good friends. Christ called his followers friends. In other words, disciples are friends. You see, this isn't just a system or a religious duty. They were actually his friends. And this makes all the difference in helping someone follow. John 15, verse 15, we can read it there. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You see, Jesus called them friends, and I believe that he told us to make disciples. He's actually asking us to help friends follow him. We need to be willing to be a good friend to other people, or I don't believe we'll actually help them on their journey. Because after inviting someone, we need to also want to help them follow and show them how, and it means we should be a friend. I read this next verse last week at the end of our message, and I want to look at it again today. It's John chapter 1, 43-49. It says, Philip here is invited by Jesus to follow him. So let's just read it. 43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come see for yourself, Philip replied. And as they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the son of God, the king of Israel. You see, Philip was asked to follow Christ, and he was going to begin that journey of following Christ, the journey for him. But he was not willing to go on that journey without his best friend. He knew that he had found the Messiah that was prophesied about in this book. And he knew he was about to go on an amazing journey, a journey of a lifetime, and he wouldn't leave his friend behind. Are you and I willing to be that kind of friend that will encourage and draw them in so they too can experience the journey, the amazing life journey of being a follower of Christ? Scripture has a lot to say about being friends. And in Proverbs 18 and verse 24, we read this. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If we want friends, we must also be friendly. I remember a quote that the late Bob Vanderwell would quote often. And he said that he heard this quote from a pastor in Maui. And the quote went like this. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend and friends were everywhere. You see, God is asking us to be the friend. Often when we're looking to find a friend, we're only thinking about what they can do to help us. And that isn't true friendship. True friendship gives first. So we need to be those kind of friends. Here's another verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. It says, a dear friend will love you no matter what. And a family sticks together through all kinds of trouble. You see, as families, brothers and sisters, well, maybe they quarrel sometimes, but they are close and typically they are supposed to be there for one another. Not every family does that happen, but that is the way it should be. But the first part of the verse says that a dear friend will love you no matter what. Whether you're grouchy, whether you're having a good day, a bad day, whether your makeup's perfect, or you shaved for the guys, either way, they will still love you, a good friend. Now, if you're married, your spouse should be your best friend. They should love you no matter what. But even married people can have good friends outside of their marriage. But I would like to say that if you're married, for a man, if you're going to have a good friend outside of your marriage, it should be another man. And for a woman, if you're going to have a close friend outside of your marriage, it should be another woman. So I remember actually many years ago, I had a childhood friend. And this friend and I spent lots of time together. We would play together, play tag, just spend time going for hikes in the bush, just spent time together. And I noticed that she thought I was amazing. She thought I was wonderful, most wonderful person. It didn't matter if I was grouchy. It didn't matter if I just yelled at her. And you know, the crazy thing is we didn't even speak the same language. Yet she knew how I felt and what was going on. And I can remember one time being extremely discouraged. And I remember sitting there so discouraged. And you know, she just got up right close to me just so I'd know she knew. And all of a sudden, she leaned in and gave me a big wet kiss. I was really grossed out. Okay, and I should probably let you know, the close friend I'm talking about was an old English sheepdog, okay? Just in case you're wondering. We didn't speak the same language. And I was grossed out because I was on a farm and I saw the stuff she ate. I never let her lick my face again. But here's the thing. How is it that a dog knows how to be that kind of friend that no matter what I did, she thought I was amazing? There was even a couple times I forgot to feed her. She still thought I was amazing. You know, we could learn a thing or two about friendship from what's called man's best friend, a puppy dog. Are we able to quickly forgive? Because when you quickly forgive, you're able to continue being friends. So I want to encourage you and I, let's be that kind of friend that cares and loves no matter what. Because if you're only a friend unless they do something wrong, you're not a very good friend. Or if you're only a friend on their good days, you're not a good friend. A good friend, even when they mess up huge, you're like, how can I help you? Let's be that kind of friend. You see, being a friend requires something of us. Now, this is the commitment part that comes in. I'm saying be a friend, or that should be so easy. No, being a friend requires something of us. Luke 10, verse 30 to 37 is a well-known story of the Good Samaritan. And he's talking about loving your neighbor, but I believe it also shows how to be a real friend. And verse 30 says, Jesus replied with a story. A man had just asked him, who's my neighbor? Because he had said, you need to love your neighbor. And he tells them this story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him, going over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, saying, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, now go and do the same. For you and I to be good friends, we must realize it's going to cost us something. You can't be a friend without any giving at all. That's not actually friendship. So we need to have our minds made up that we are willing to be friends even of people that we maybe don't know. We're willing to be friends with people that are outside of our group. Because you see, the Samaritan, they were hated, they were despised. And the Jewish people thought Samaritans were lower or less than them. You see, the Samaritans had married outside people, so to the Jews, they would see them as they're only half Jewish. And yet here the Samaritan is the one who reaches out to this man in the ditch. The Samaritan is the one who spends his money for somebody he doesn't even know. Are you and I willing to be that kind of friend? Are we willing to reach out even when it's not easy? You know, I think about another friend that I had growing up. And this time I'm not talking about an animal. I could tell you about a horse that was a good friend. And I raised pigeons, but pigeons are not good friends, if anybody's wondering. Don't get your kid a pet pigeon. They're not friends. Anyways, I'm going to tell you a story about a real person. And this person was my best friend, and he was also my older brother. And he was a year older than me. And we lived in a smaller home, and for all our years going to school, right up into high school, we shared the same room. And we had bunk beds. I think we might have split them up. Anyways, that's a long time to have your little brother in the same room. And I never remember him once saying he wished I wasn't there, or why is this annoying kid in my room? Never once. And I can remember learning things from him, and there was one time, and it was about a week, that I was really frustrated and angry. I think something was going on at school, I can't actually remember, but I remember getting angry at him, and he was the closest one, so I got really angry, and I punched him as hard as I could. And then I ran. Mom! Because he was way bigger than I was. And Mom would be like, oh, you guys, no wrestling or fighting, you know, whatever's going on. And so the second day, same thing happened. I was so angry, and I hit him. I ran, ah! And, you know, she did the same thing. Well, the third day, same thing. I'm just angry, and I hit him hard, and I ran. Ah! I got to the living room, and I realized Mom wasn't in the house. Well, my brother hit me. Only once, but he hit me, and it hurt. And I didn't cry or whine too much because, you know, there was no point. Mom wasn't in the house. But I remember thinking, oh, that really hurt. And when I went back to the room, my older brother said this to me. He said, sorry I had to hit you, but you had to learn. You can't just get mad and hit people in life. That's not how it works. I want to tell you, I learned that lesson. I am a quick learner. I never got angry and hit someone ever again. But he was a brother who was a very good friend to me, so much that he was willing to help me grow and learn. He was willing to look out for me, and he did. He cared about me probably more than any friend I'd ever had. And when I think about that kind of friendship, I need to ask you, are you willing to be that kind of friend? Are you close enough to someone that if you correct them, they'll know it's because you care? Now, please don't go hit people. I'm not saying that. But did you know that sometimes people need a frank conversation? And if they know you care about them enough and you give it to them, it could change how they act. So, go ahead and do that. John 15 and verse 13 says, the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Now I'm reading in the Passion Translation here if it sounds different to you. But this is Jesus letting his followers know that he would sacrifice his life for them. You see, because Jesus truly was the greatest friend. And he looked ahead in time and he saw you and I. And he called us friends and he hung on a cross for us. What an amazing friend is that. And to this day, he looks and he calls you and I his friend. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us as friends. He's not looking at you like a number. He's not looking at you like just somebody he's never met. If you're a follower of his, he's seated at the right hand of the Father talking on your behalf. But he's looking at it that way. This is my friend, Dr. Frank. He's talking to the Father. Dr. Frank has a really big load right now, everything that's going on. I think we need to send some angels down there to Slave Lake. My friend, Dr. Frank. Did you hear that? That's how Jesus thinks of us. Not that person or that individual. No, my friend. He looks at you as a friend.